roundup with I don't want to say the best for last because it's all great, but I'm looking forward to this section because
yes,
we're going to Africa and it is the end to AFCON qualifying. What we're going to do is we're not going to go through, I think for the sake of time, we're definitely not going to go through all the groups, but we are going to highlight some of the groups that have key matches this window. We've gone through and made some extensive notes on these games, on these teams, who's in, who's out.
Yeah.
So we're gonna rock it. So we're gonna start with Group C.
Real quick, Joe, just want to jump in real quick. So there are 24 teams that are gonna qualify. 15 teams have qualified already. And so the 9 spots left, there are 6 of the 12 groups. I just wanted to point out why we're jumping around. The 6 groups that still have either 1 or 2 teams to qualify, those are the groups we're going to focus on. So Group C is the first of those groups.
Correct. Thank you. Yes. And Group C consists of Namibia, Cameroon, and Burundi. Now, Namibia leads this group. Which is insane, but they've played all their games. So it all comes down to Cameroon against Burundi. And this game is going to be in Cameroon, or at least Cameroon is the host of the game, or the home team, I guess I should say. And yeah, for Burundi, for the Swallows, this is it. I mean, this is a big deal. They basically have to get a result. A draw isn't going to do it. That's not true. We've talked about this before, huh? That's not true. I mean, this group is so crazy because everybody's like, Cameroon and Burundi are tied across the board in terms of goal differential, in terms of points, in terms of wins, draws, and losses. Like, it goals. Yeah, it's crazy.
I think Burundi it can qualify with a draw if they draw by at least, I think it has to be at least 4-4. 4-4, 5-5, 6-6, I think all of those will work for Burundi in a draw situation. Any other draw, they're out, and then they could just win and qualify.
I mean, I can't even imagine Cameroon not being at AFCON and Namibia and Burundi going through in their play. I mean, that just is insane.
Yeah. Cameroon losing at home to Burundi would be unbelievable.
Yeah. that would shake all right. So that's kind of that group. I don't have any other notes on that group. Do you?
No, I do not. I'm just looking forward to that Cameroon Burundi match.
Okay, cool. All right, let's go to Group E. So in Group E, Angola hosts Madagascar in Libango, and then 3 days later, Ghana hosts the Central African Republic in Kumasi. Now, this is kind of a three-horse race at the moment between Ghana, Angola, and Central Africa. Angola definitely has the advantage, I think, coming in here. They play Madagascar, and if they win that game, I think that pretty much all but assures them a spot. You can correct me if I'm wrong, because that means that Central Africa, the CAR, they basically have to beat Ghana. If it's a draw or a loss, then they're out.
Correct. Yeah, Angola, a win for Angola is enough. So they would be in. A draw for Angola, I think, is also enough because let me check their record against Ghana. Should have looked this up in advance.
They have a loss and a draw.
Yeah, so that would not be enough then. So if Angola draws and Ghana loses to Central African Republic, Angola would be out. If either team wins, if I'm sorry, if Ghana wins or draws and Angola draws, that is enough. Yeah. So there's some it's tricky because head to head is the first tiebreaker here.
Mm-hmm.
So Ghana on 9 points, Angola on 8, Central African Republic on 7. The one thing that definitively we can say, win in it. So any of these three teams, if you win, mathematically you're in, no matter what.
Yeah.
If you draw, you know, for Ghana, a draw is fine. Angola, a draw probably is fine, but you need to see. But win and in. And so, you know, for Angola, you have to imagine they're going to beat Madagascar, I think. I think they're a better team, but I'm not certain. And then Central African Republic, I mean, they had spurts. They looked good in the middle of qualifying. And then the last window, you know, that June window, losing at home, well, it was in Cameroon, but losing to Angola for their home match, basically just, you know, they dropped from having a great chance to just now being on the outside looking in.
Yeah, that was absolutely brutal for them. I have some notes on Central African Republic and Angola. So we're going to start with Angola because I don't think we don't really talk too much about either of these sides, if I'm being honest. But for Angola, one thing to note is that they brought 11 attackers in the squad. That is something else. I'm sure that's a mixture of forwards and midfielders, but that is intense. Eyes should be on Rui Modesto, who is a young player. He is a regular professional for AIK in Sweden, and he's had a great season. He hasn't gotten any minutes yet, but I think we could see that this window. And then maybe more importantly, Ivan Cavaleiro, who is a dual national. He could have played for Portugal, but he can also play for Angola. He has nailed his colors to the mast, and he is sided with Angola. And that is a huge pickup for Angola. He currently plays for Lille in France. And he's been in the preliminary selections before, but I think he was still weighing his options at the time and was never selected, but he has been now. And so he's made the switch, and I would expect that we're going to see him at some point during this window, and that's a huge pickup for Angola. So some exciting additions there. For Central African Republic, it gets even tougher. Not only do they have to beat Ghana in Ghana, but they're not going to have Kondogbia. He is injured, and that is a big blow for Les Favs, the Wild Beasts, which is their nickname, which I love. So what did they do? I mean, they know that this is a huge opportunity for them, and so they went in and they've brought in some really fresh offensive faces, including Marco Majuga, who's playing at Botev's Bota Vratsa in Bulgaria. He's 22. Gabriel Wolengbe, there we go. Gabriel Wolengbe, he's playing at Paris FC. He's very young. He's 19, but he's doing quite well there. And then Godwin Koyalipu, who is playing at Lausanne in Switzerland. He's 23. Defender Sverin Tatolna has also had a good season with Umeå in Sweden, and he got his first call too. So I guess what I read from that is, you know, I think they're obviously going to try to qualify, but I think they're also looking at, okay, well, we might have missed this step, but let's start working on the next, right? And that would be World Cup qualification. And so It's definitely not over, but without Kondogbia, I have a hard time seeing Central African Republic getting past Ghana, especially a Ghana team that is as strong as the one that's been called in. It's
Yeah.
just, it's ridiculous.
I would agree.
And so, yeah. You want to make any predictions on this?
I'm gonna go with Ghana and Angola.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think that's pretty fair. So, all right, let's go ahead.
No, I'm excited to talk about Group F, and I'm also excited to look into the Angola national team a little bit more.
Yes, it's good. I think it's one that is going to be one of those. It's more kind of, I don't want to say up and coming. I think they've maybe
Yeah.
arrived. And so yeah, one that will be very exciting. And
Definitely.
the AFCON will be a good experience for them as they go into World Cup qualifying too. So, all right, Group F. Really, this is between two teams, Tanzania and Uganda. And Tanzania has really to, I mean, they're playing away to Algeria,
Yeah.
whereas Uganda is away to Niger. And for Tanzania, basically, they can't lose, but that is an incredibly tough task when they're away to Algeria.
Yeah. This group, despite all of the different permutations of some of the prior groups, this one's actually very straightforward. So if Uganda defeats Niger and Tanzania loses to Algeria, Uganda gets in. Any other scenario, and Tanzania gets in. So that's it. And so that one is straightforward. And I think so. Yes, just if Tanzania gets any result they qualify, they can also squeak in if Uganda does not win against Niger. So Tanzania has a 3-point lead. Unfortunately, the head-to-head is identical, so it comes down to the group. And yeah, Tanzania is, I think they're in a tough spot. I don't think they're going to be able to get anything against Algeria, but I don't know that Uganda defeating Niger is a certainty.
Yeah, it's tough to call. It's really tough. I agree with you completely. I think it's too much for Tanzania to be Algeria. So this group very well may stay kind of as is, right? Like Uganda may draw with Niger and end on 5 points and just not go through.
Yeah. And Uganda has just really not played all that well.
They have not, you're
They've
right.
they lost to Algeria, they recently lost to Congo DR. They did defeat Tanzania, but they also lost to Tanzania in March. They drew against Mali earlier this year. They drew against Sudan. They lost to Tanzania last year. They drew against Libya. I mean, Uganda is not a team that's firing on all cylinders by any means. And this game against Niger, it's a neutral site in Morocco, which I guess is easier than playing on the road. But I haven't been really encouraged by Uganda really at all during qualification. And they're a team that, they've been hit or miss, I guess, in Africa. They were good for a while, but I don't think Uganda's really that great a team, frankly.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I think the Cranes have a long way to go. And yeah, I think we can probably just leave it there for that one.
Yeah. I think e either way, whoever qualifies for AFCON, Uganda or Tanzania, I think they're going to struggle to really see some positive results at the actual finals.
I agree. They'll definitely be a whipping boy, I think, at AFCON, which I don't like to say, but I'm gonna say. Let's go to Group G. This is one that I am very excited for.
Yeah.
this is similar in many ways to Group F. Mali has already qualified, It is a two-horse race between the Gambia and Congo. For the Gambia, so first of all, this game is going to be on September 4th in Morocco. So it's going to be on a neutral ground. Congo, basically, they have no other choice. They have to win. And they probably have to win big. And that's going to be tough against a Gambia side that is extremely strong. There are no new names in this squad. They're all business. They brought in the best players that they could. A few of those made some moves over the summer. Ibrahim Akali moves to Young Boys Bern in Switzerland. Yankuba Minty, he was signed by Newcastle, and then they went out on loan to Feyenoord. He's only 19 years old, but he scored his first goal this past weekend in the Eredivisie for Feyenoord. This could be the opportunity where he may see some minutes. He might get his first cap. He's been called into the squad before, but he hasn't played. And then I also wanted to mention that Ablie Diallo, who's currently playing at Metz in Ligue 1 in France, also scored this weekend after just coming on. Literally, it was like with his first touch. He'd only been on for like a minute or two. And so the Gambia coming into this international break really hot. But for the Congo, it's a huge game. They have to win it.
Yeah.
They're going to be relying heavy on Thievi Bafuma, who has had a good couple seasons at Ofi, which is the football club in Crete, which is fun. But you know, the Congo is no pushover either. I mean, as we've mentioned with some other clubs, you know, you look through their squad and they've got some players that are playing at a very decent level. You know, I really think they can make it difficult. They can make life difficult for the Gambia. So this is one that I'm really looking forward to.
I likewise am very much looking forward to this. Another one that's straightforward because Congo already defeated Gambia, which is remarkable that now they're behind needing another win. Because again, the head-to-head is the differentiator. Just a win from Congo, that's enough. So that would give them two wins over Gambia, and that would be enough. So I think for Gambia, it's a dangerous situation because in my mind, on paper, I feel like Gambia is clearly the better team. Mm. They're a really talented team, mm-hmm. and I think Africa in general and all of us that watch and really enjoy AFCON would really be missing something if Gambia did not qualify. And you know, you go through a lot of these other groups and teams that have missed out. There are very few teams that are on the outside looking in where you can say that, where like, wow, we're really missing something at AFCON by not having that team there. And I think Gambia would be one of those teams. So I think they'll be up to the task. Yes, it's not at home. It's at a neutral site. But I expect them to at least be able to get a point and qualify. So, but again, huge game. That match actually is, I just wanted to correct something, is not on the 4th, it's on the 10th.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm looking at the same thing that you're looking at. That match did not occur yesterday. So
yeah, I don't know what I was thinking when
still a little time to look forward to that. So yeah, that'll occur on the 10th. And I'm looking forward to that game a lot.
Yeah. No, that's gonna be a fun one. We'll leave that one there. That's a good one. All right. Group I. So this is one of the wildest groups. Every single team is still in this. Every team is still alive. And to even say that, I think is incredible. So this group is made up of DR Congo, Mauritania, Gabon, and Sudan. It's gonna be wild. So Let's see. DR Congo hosts Sudan. Gabon is away to Mauritania. For Gabon, of course, Aubameyang is there. Why would, you know, this is big. But it is a first call up for forward Orphy Mbina from Nîmes, who he probably, you know, in such critical game, probably isn't going to see a lot of playing time. But Mikel Mbula, who plays in Turkey, also first call for him. Junior Asamu and Nuba Fotso also return to the squad. And then there's a few of these Gabon guys that are playing over here in Major League Soccer. Bupenza got his second goal for FC Cincinnati last week. It was the other day. I think it was last week. And then Buenga, he's had a great season for LAFC. So, you know, Gabon kind of coming in with some players that are in some decent form, but going away to Mauritania, I don't think is necessarily going to be an easy task.
Yeah. Yeah, Gabon is a team that they had a big lead, and they've lost their last two qualifiers. They lost to Sudan. They lost at home to Congo DR. I don't know what happened to them. They've really kind of fallen apart, and it's not over for them. You know, they're at Mauritania, and they need to win. There's really no other option. They need to win. I think you know, they're a team that I'm really concerned has just, you know, spun out of control. I think Mauritania knows, hey, we just need to lock them down for 90 minutes and we're in. And I'm kind of thinking that Mauritania will be able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's exciting for them too. For Mauritania, and maybe I should have done some research on this, but have they qualified for an AFCON before?
They have. Okay. They have. They were at, I think, the last one or the one before. Actually, they've been at the last two. They haven't performed well. Okay. But they were able to qualify.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, Mauritania, again, looking at their squad, you know, it's, you know, they have a lot of players playing in France, a couple of players playing in Romania, right? It just is interesting to me that they've been able to do so well with a squad that, to me, doesn't speak a whole lot. I mean, you certainly compare that to the Congo squad, and
yeah,
it's a big difference.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
And even you know, even for Gabon, right? I think there's you know, on paper at least, so the Gabon probably has a more quality squad.
Yeah.
Do you think
they're go ahead, sorry.
No, you go.
No, I was gonna say, Mauritania actually got docked a point. They failed an ineligible player, and they actually had drawn with Congo DR. They would have been leading this group. They would have been on 8 points, Congo DR on 7, and CAF made a decision, I think sometime over the summer, and adjusted their result from March so that Congo DR was awarded a 3-0 win. So I don't know if we talked about that previously, but I think the last time we spoke, Congo DR was not leading this group.
Yeah, that's what I seem to remember. And then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I know they had a decent win against Gabon in June. They kind of smacked him around a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we've had conversations before earlier in qualifying that Congo DR did not get off to a good start, and we were pretty concerned about them.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I was not aware of that. That's some unfortunate news.
Yeah, it did flip it. And now, you know, looking at our odds, I've got, you know, Congo DR like 89% to qualify. I think it, you know, really shifted things. And I think Sudan's in trouble, but the Gabon Mauritania game, I think, is the big one to watch.
Yeah, I would agree. Right. Last but not least, Group L. So Group L, Senegal's already qualified out of this group, but that has left, and that means that Rwanda has been eliminated, but that leaves Mozambique and Benin with each with a shot to qualify for AFCON here. And they play each other. Yeah, again, very straightforward. Benin, basically, they have to win. If they don't win, then they're not going.
Yeah, this is one that we've been tracking for a long time. And it's just, you know, we always felt like Senegal was going to run away with this. And at this point, it seems like, you know, nothing's really changed. It's just Mozambique and Benin going back and forth. And, you know, who's going to be able to get the better of it? Mozambique does get the benefit of playing at home. They just need a draw to qualify. So straightforward for them. I think Mozambique is good enough to get a draw at home. They may not be the better team, just, you know, all things level. Mm-hmm. But being at home, having that benefit, I think, you know, they're a team that can do enough to get in. They haven't qualified since 2010, so it's been some time. Again, I feel like whichever team it is that qualifies, similar to what we were just talking about with Uganda and Tanzania, I think is going to be a team that others wouldn't necessarily mind drawing. But I think it would be great to see Mozambique back at AFCON.
Yes, it absolutely would. Funny enough, they beat Benin in the return leg, 1-0. So, you know, this, and I remember watching that. This is very tight. You know, very tight games. I'm gonna disagree with you though. I think Benin is gonna come back in this one. And I think they're gonna beat Mozambique.
On the road,
I do. I'm liking Tosin Ayagun. He's playing very well for FC Zurich at the moment. You know, you've got a few at Steve Meunier, a very solid player playing for Brest in France. Dosu at Sochaux, right? Like there's some, you know, there's some potency going forward.
Yes, there is.
And you know, I don't want to solely base it off of that, but I think I saw enough from them recently. Even though, well, first of all, it was a really good result for them to get a draw with Senegal. You know, yeah. So I think that's a plus in their book. I think I'm gonna go with Benin on this one to jump into that second spot.
Okay.
So
that would be a pretty big surprise, but I could see it happening.
Yeah.
I think coming into qualifying, I'm trying to recall, but I think we actually did our rankings did predict Benin to finish second. I think that's changed over time as things have gone on, but they're a solid squad. I think that's going to be a really good game, low scoring for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, Benin knows they need to win. Mozambique knows they need to prevent Benin from winning. So it's going to be a good one to watch.
Yeah, and I think Benin has that touch of class that's going to let them sneak that result.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm coming from. But all right, yeah, that's AFCON. I do just briefly, if you're good with it, so some of the teams that have already qualified, I just want to – there's a few notes, some transfers and whatnot that I think and some squad call-ups that we should maybe touch on.
Yes.
I'm going to start with Guinea-Bissau. So they actually brought in 9 fresh faces for this camp, which brings their grand total to 12 players that have no caps whatsoever, right? So obviously that means there's 3 players that have been called in before, but they didn't play, right? But there's 9 fresh faces for Guinea-Bissau. I think that's incredible. So obviously that's going to change. One player that we need to be looking out for, because he is going to be, I think he's going to be really good, is Frank Jew. He's only 19 years old, but he's already doing well. He's doing great things at FC Midtjylland in Denmark. He scored a hat trick in UEFA Europa Conference League qualifying against Ammonia Nicosia for FC Midtjylland. FC Midtjylland didn't end up making it. They dropped out in the final qualifying round. But to get a hat trick against a well-known Cyprus team, and he's only 19 years old, you can't scratch your face at that. So that's big for Guinea-Bissau.
What a name.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Frank Jew. Yeah. Yes. For the Ivory Coast, I guess less news, more of a question, but I tend to follow a lot of the Nordic leagues, and BK Häcken won the Allsvenskan this last year. And there's a player on their team, his name's Benny Traore. He just got a huge move to Sheffield United, where he's already playing. And this would be a great opportunity for the Ivory Coast to bring him in, and they didn't. And I'm upset about that. So I had to mention something on the pod, because he absolutely should be there. He's a really wonderful player to watch play. Very creative, very attacking. He plays up top, and he scored some incredible goals. And I think Ivory Coast, at some point, I think he's going to get called up. And I thought for sure it would be this window,
yeah.
But I guess not. So for Tunisia, so we kind of give them some stick, because they're a very hardworking side, and they don't tend to score a ton of goals. But I think they're working on that. So they've made a couple of selections in their squad in this window that I think could change their goal scoring prowess. They've called in Anas Haj Mohamed from Parma in Italy. He could have represented Morocco, but it looks like he's going to represent Tunisia. Elias Saad is having a amazing season at St. Pauli in the Zweite Bundesliga in Germany. That's the second division. Ali Youssef, he's also playing at the Swedish champs at BK Häcken. He's having a good season. He makes his return. Hamza Rafia is at Lecce, and he's back after being absent from Tunisia for a long time. And then a player that caught my attention this summer during the Under-20 World Cup for Tunisia. He had a very impressive Under-20 World Cup, and that is Sami Chuchen. He currently plays his club ball at Brighton for the Under-21s, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see him break into that Brighton team at some point this season. So he gets his first call up to the senior team again after a very impressive summer. So yeah, for Tunisia, they're working on trying to get some more goals.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, there you go. Senegal, I wanted to mention a few new faces for Senegal. Abdoulaye Ndiaye, who's playing at Troy. He's a center back. He's 21. Mamadou Lamine as well. Mamadou Lamine Kamara. He's actually playing his club ball in Morocco. Both of those players, 21 and 20 respectively, get their first call up for Senegal. There's been a lot of hype around Mamadou Kamara. I've seen quite a few people who are very interested and excited about him and what he can do. And it's probably not going to be too long before he's out of Morocco and playing probably in France, would be my guess. So it's good for him to get the call, and I'll be curious to see if he gets any playing time. For Zambia, who has already qualified for AFCON, a team that is very exciting. Edward Chalufya, he returns to Sweden. Again, lots of BK Häcken mentioned in this pod, but they signed him. He was playing at Djurgården's before he moved to Midtjylland in Denmark, where he didn't really get a ton of minutes, and in my personal opinion, didn't get an adequate chance. But he's back in Sweden, where he was lighting up the league, and so I think that's good for him, and I think that's good for Zambia. Wanted to mention that. And then last but not least, I'm going to mention Nigeria. Three players that, two of which definitely deserve a call. One I was a little surprised by, but Gift Orban. So again, the Nordic connection. So he's currently playing at Ghent in Belgium. You've probably seen, I think one of his goals last year went viral. He was linked this summer with a ton of teams. Really strong central forward. He's going to be a good addition to Nigeria. I'm excited for that. But yeah, he's playing at Ghent. That's where he plays club ball right now. And he was at Stabæk in Norway before then. And so good to see him getting onto the Nigerian team. And then Victor Boniface, again, the connection. He's playing at Leverkusen right now. They just picked him up from Union St. Galloway, which we talked about them earlier. But before that, he was playing his club ball at Bodø Glimt. And I believe he won the Norwegian Eliteserien with them. And so good to see him get called into the squad. That's another good call up. And then last but not least, Jordan Turunariga, currently playing at Ghent as well, gets his first call up. He could have represented Germany. He has actually, I think it was just in the under 23s though, I think. But I'm familiar with him because he's a Hertha boy. And he's decided that he's going to represent Nigeria. So that's very exciting. So a little bit of a rundown
there.
Lots
of new call-ups in Africa.
Yes.
And it's good because I think, you know, we talked a little bit just about when's the right time. And, you know, in Europe, I think it can be a little trickier because you're really always in it. Africa, you know, a lot of these teams have already qualified. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're playing, but they're really not playing for anything. And so good opportunity to bring some new faces in and try some new things out.
Yep. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode. Thank you for sticking with us. This is a massive, massive episode, but we had a lot to get caught up on. We may divide this into different parts. I don't know, but I think that's probably what's going to happen. Brandon shaking his head.
Yes.
So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Brandon, thank you for hanging in there with me. We've gone well into the morning.
it's been fun.
It has been fun. And we both have to get up and go to work in the morning. So we're gonna quickly wrap this up. Just wanted to say, if you want to follow the pod, it's at @WindowIntlPod on Twitter. You can also follow Brandon at @We_Global. We're both going to be active during the window. You can catch us there. Shoot any questions our way. We'll try to get them on the next show. And yeah, that's bye from me.